The next speaker is Ted Allen. Ted has come to us as a contractor. Again, the mix that we use here, internal people, external people. Understand that we're doing both quantitative and qualitative analysis at the same time. You'll see more of the qualitative, later in the day. But this is the quantitative aspects that we take here, but it's important to do both. Cannot overemphasize that enough. So, Ted, please.
Thank you. Okay. I come to the data after it has been delivered from Westat. So I'm really going to be looking at the part where we talk about the post-data delivery part of what happens. And there are two activities that have to be completed after the data have been delivered. First is a data integration activity where we take the have to combine any non-survey data that's going to be used in with the survey data so that it will be have all the data there available for us to use. Then we have a data accessibility activity where we try to make that combined set of data available to everyone who needs to use it. So I'll begin first talking about the data integration process. And almost no survey can include all the information that you'd like to have in the survey. So for a number of reasons, you end up having to use some outside non-survey information. You may use it to reduce the respondent's burden. You may use it to increase the accuracy and consistency of the data. Or you may use it simply because you need information that the respondents cannot provide. So in all of those cases, you're going to need some outside data. For the ATP study, we needed three kinds of information from non-survey information. We need information on the characteristics of the awardees, what I'm calling firmographics, how large they were, what were their financial conditions, those types of things. We needed information about how we had assigned those projects and awardees to various industries, their NAICS, the technical area that the project covered. And we also needed information about their patent activity, how many patent applications, issued patents. We needed the names of the inventors. We needed the names of the titles of the patents and the assignees, those types of information. So there were three types of information that we needed. We got those information from a variety of sources. For the public companies, we used CompuStat to give us information about the financial data and financial statements. Private companies had the increased burden in their surveys where they had to provide us with financial information in the surveys since it wasn't publicly available. For other firmographics characteristics, we used Dun & Bradstreet to give us congressional district information, credit scores, the years the companies were established, things like that. For the patent information, we used two sources, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and Delphion. Delphion was used primarily for batch patent searches since it provided an easier interface to do batch searches. And then for information that was generated during the selection process and during the award process, we used internal NIST databases so that we had information about the size of the firm, the technical area, how long the award was for, and those types of things. Now, I'm going to look at the patent data as an example because that was a particularly difficult set of data for us to integrate. There were just a number of different ways of getting errors into that data and trying to get a set of stable, good data was just difficult. First of all, the data came from three sources. Under the NIST ATP contract, awardees had to notify the legal office of their patent activity that resulted from the ATP award. They sent that information on paper copies that then had to be transferred and entered into the computer to create an electronic format. All right, so you've got the situation there where you can get data entry errors on the NIST side as well as data entry errors on the respondent side, or participant side. We also asked for patent information in the surveys. So there you've got an opportunity where the respondents can cause data entry errors. And especially if you've got a long list of inventors, the respondents tend not to give you all the inventors on the patent. They tend to abbreviate the patent title. They will tend to confuse the document number with the application number. and you've just got a whole series of places where you get problems with them entering in patent information. And on top of that, you've got the possibility that they will not give you all of the patents that resulted from the project. In the case of the ATP, there was a requirement that all of the awardees list, indicate in their government interest section of the patent application and the issued patent document, an indication that this work was done as a result of an ATP award, and they had to provide the award number. So we had a mechanism for trying to find omissions by going through and doing searches on the patent database, USPTO patent database, by looking in the government interest section for ATP awards. Put all of that data together from what they sent the legal office, from what they provided to the surveys, what they've done to the what we've now found in terms of the government interest searches, into one database. And the first problem you have is you've got duplicates. You've got from all of these different sources a variety of duplicates that you've got to clean out and get rid of, and what you end up with is a very intense data review process. We have to go record by record and compare each record to say, is this patent, this application the same as this patent application? Just because they've left out a couple of names or because the titles are different, how do we decide what are accurate and valid patents? So that was just a very intense process of detective work, trying to figure out which are, how, you know, which records are actually the same. We did figure that if we had a valid patent issue number or valid application number, we would go to the USPTO or Delphion and just download the rest of the information. So we were sure of having the correct inventors, the correct numbers, the correct dates, and all of that other information in our patent database. Doing that, we were able to create a database that we think has pretty good information about the issued patents and the applications where we have valid application number. We've got about 3,400 records for applications and issued patents combined, and if you look only at the issued patent, there's about 1,500 records, of which 840 didn't list any information in the government interest section about the NIST award. So, in fact, we did, that says we did get some information from the survey or from the legal office in terms of them telling us about things that they hadn't indicated the, in their patent application or issued document. So once we've got this information, we then have to make it available to the data analysts and the program managers who need it. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that. What we did really was to say we're going to set some standard searches, some standard reports. And those reports will provide information that we know that the project managers and the data analysts need, and then we will give them a form in Access that allows them to go in and search to find out which is the correct patent, which is the correct report that they need so that they can go to the right report. So by integrating the non-survey data and providing some broader access, we believe we were able to build a data set that had more data of interest to a variety of people, greater accuracy and consistency, and increased utility and just the broader availability of the data. That's it.